It's now my pleasure to ask Brother Ben to come and give us those words that he's prepared to help us by way of exhortation.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's lovely to be back with you again. It's very easy, is it not, to, when we're at a meeting like this or like any other, to be sitting there or here worrying about other things, worrying about jobs or school or plans for the future, whatever it may be, to be distracted and to be worrying about these other things of life. And in Matthew 10, that reading we had read just a few moments ago, there's one phrase in particular which stood out to me, which Jesus uses a few times in his ministry, recorded for us in the Gospels. So it's in Matthew 10, and for now we'll just take the verse, well, the phrase, completely out of context. We'll come back to the context here shortly, but then we'll follow it back to where the Lord Jesus uses this phrase elsewhere. And so it's in verse 19, that when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. And it's that phrase, take no thought, which I want to think about by way of exhortation for a few minutes this morning. And this phrase the Lord Jesus uses back in chapter 6 of Matthew, and he uses it a few times. And this phrase, I think, teaches us to not worry and how not to worry about those other things of life. So Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? So Jesus there appears to say, don't even think about those other things, those everyday things of life, what you eat, drink, what you wear, and those everyday things of life. But of course, he's not telling us to never think about them. Of course, we have to. But I think if we read the rest of this passage in Matthew 6, it really brings out for us the meaning of what that phrase, take no thought, is all about. And so verse 26 then, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. And so Jesus again uses that phrase, take no thought, twice more in that passage. I think verse 26 really doesn't use the phrase in this verse, but it's an interesting verse, and I think interpreting that verse highlights the message of that phrase. I heard this explained to me very well a little while ago. So verse 26, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, so they do no preparation work of their own, and yet God feeds them. But let's just have a little think about how that works in practice. Yes, God feeds those birds, but he doesn't drop the food, as it were, straight into their nests. So the birds have to go out in the morning to go and find the food that God provides, but they never have to worry about whether the food will be there. The food is always there. God provides that food, but they have to go and search for it and find it for themselves. And that, I think, is the lesson for us, that God provides all these things of everyday life, the food, the drink, the raiment, the enough to live on, particularly in a country like this. But that doesn't mean that we don't necessarily think about that at all. We still have to go and work for the provision of those things. The curse on Adam, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, and so that is for us. But we don't have to worry, again, particularly in a country like this, that those things will be there. We will always have enough to live on. And so when we are in situations a lot like this, we don't need to be thinking about the things of work or the things of plans for the future or whether we will have enough to live on. Because God provides that for us. God knows, verse 32, that you have need of all these things. But the lesson from Christ is in verse 33 that we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. These things will be provided by God if we are seeking his kingdom first, if that is always our priority. And so he summarizes then the final verse there in verse 34, take no thought for the things of the morrow. Whatever that is, in any context really, the things of life for tomorrow, God will take care of those. For now, we just focus on seeking first the kingdom of God. We come over to James in chapter 4. James picks up, as he does many of the teachings from the Sermon on the Mount, but he picks up on this idea of taking no thought for the things of the morrow. James 4 and verse 13. James says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So James says, yes, we do need to make plans for the future. We do need to think about where those things of life are coming from. But it's all in accordance with God's will. And so, yes, we make those plans, but we don't need to make those the key priority. We don't need to worry about those. Because if the Lord will, such a thing will happen. And that, I think, is the meaning of this phrase, take no thought. It doesn't mean don't do anything about these things at all. It means don't worry about them. Don't make them the priority. But instead, seek first that kingdom of God. We still have to go to work, still have to make those plans. We still have to go out and physically get the food, the clothing, and so on. But it should come behind seeking first the kingdom of God. And so, with that meaning of that phrase, take no thought, come back to our reading in Matthew 10. Because this time, Jesus uses this phrase in a different context. It's no longer talking about the everyday things of life. But instead, we'll come in at verse 16 to fully get the context of how this phrase is used. Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. And so, in this context, Jesus says, take no thought when you are in a situation of public speaking and preaching. Don't worry about those things which you are going to say. Now again, this clearly is not telling us to not think about having an answer ready for any questions that might come our way. And we're told in Peter that we should always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. But it's that meaning again, that we don't have to be worried about how exactly we will say these things. So what is this really saying? Well, verse 20 starts to explain it. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in ye. So what he's saying is that to the disciples at this time, first of all, that when you are in a position, as they were many times in the Acts, to speak to those who do not know the gospel, don't worry about exactly how you're going to preach that gospel, because it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. And so it's God's words, not your own. So don't worry about the presentation as such. But we don't have the Holy Spirit, like the disciples did. So how does this verse then apply to us? Well, we know from the New Testament that the Holy Spirit gifts were only around in the ecclesia at the time until the Bible had been written in its entirety. And so the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were replaced in practice for us by the Bible, by God's word, which was breathed out by God, Timothy tells us. And so if we reread that verse 20 then, but apply it to us, for it is not ye that speak, but it is the word of God which speaketh in ye. And so the lesson from Jesus for us there is that when we are with people of the world, with people that do not know the gospel, who are not in a covenant relationship with God, we don't need to worry about exactly how we can preach the word to them, because it is God's word. It's not our words. But this can only be the case if that word is within us, if that word is written on the tables of our heart, as it were. The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, and so Jesus' words here could apply. And so we then must ensure that we are filled with God's word, so that when we are in those situations, we can be confident that the words we are speaking are not our own, but they are God's, speaking through us. And it comes back to the same principle we saw in Matthew 6. It's about seeking first the kingdom of God. We don't need to worry about those daily tasks, as it were, those daily, day-to-day things of life, which everyone in the world has to spend time and effort worrying about. Yes, we have to do them, but that extra time and effort can be put into reading and absorbing God's word, so that in those situations we can speak it as God's word and not as our own words, without having to take thought for how or what we shall speak, because it's within us and we know it, and it is God's word and not our own. And so this phrase, take no thought, has that twofold use by the Lord Jesus, to firstly, to seek first God's kingdom and to not worry and to not focus on those day-to-day things of life which God will provide for us. And secondly then, to use that time and effort to put into seeking his kingdom and to read the word and to absorb that, so that we can speak it to those outside. And of course, as with all these things, as ever, the Lord Jesus is the perfect example for us in both of those aspects. He says to his disciples that the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He did not worry about where he was going to sleep, about where the next meal was coming from, about what he was wearing, because God provided the necessary things to live on. And when he spoke to those that were outside, to those who did not know the truth, it was always God's word. Every teaching of the Lord Jesus has its roots in the Old Testament, has its roots in the Bible which he had, to the point where when he was tempted, he could quote scripture back at the temptation to conquer that temptation. And so that's the exhortation for us, really, to have that word within us, so that we can, A, preach it to those outside, and also use it to conquer the temptations that come our way. That when we are in difficult situations, that there is always a verse or a principle or something from God's word which is there at the forefront of our mind to help us to conquer those temptations as they come, that we may strive to follow the example of our Lord Jesus, which we have before us now, that even to the point of death he was obedient. Even to the point of death he followed and lived this word of God in everything he did. And so our exhortation really is to read the word and to have God's word and his kingdom as the forefront and the most important part of our life, not worrying about everything else, because God knows we have need of those things and will provide for us if we are seeking his kingdom first. Thank you.